Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. Wherever you are listening to the podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guest this time around is the excellent Mario of the band Blackout Problems. Blackout Problems have a brand new record out. It's out on the 23rd of February. It's called Riot, and this conversation is one of my favorites I've done in a long, long time. Mario is super, super honest in this conversation. He's super open. And you know what? We just hit it off. We genuinely really hit it off in this conversation. And I'm really, really thankful to the excellent, excellent people who look after him. David, special shout out to you, my friend. Thank you so much for hooking us up. And this is a really great conversation. The album is really fantastic as well. I highly recommend you go and check it out. We get into everything that's been going on with Blackout Problems over the last couple of years. We talk about working with Enter Shikari, going on tour with Enter Shikari. We talk about playing festivals. We talk about lots of great things. In fact, talking about festivals, he gives us the best Dream Rider request we have had probably ever. It's fantastic. So I highly recommend you check it out. If you guys want to help support the show, you can by sharing our stuff on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok under Nevermind Polly Podcast. I believe Nevermind Polly Pod on TikTok. But yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, this interview. So I am going to shut up and let you guys listen to it. This is Mario of Blackout Problems on the Nevermind Polly Podcast. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I am your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And it's my absolute pleasure to bring you this interview this time around. I've got the excellent Mario of the band Blackout Problems. How are we doing? How's things?
Hello, thank you so much for the nice introduction. I'm pretty good over here. How are you?
Yeah, good mate, good mate. It's a Tuesday morning as we sit and record this for everyone. I've got work later on, but the sun is shining. The life is good right now. Life is good. So it's all good. As we just discussed on the podcast, first and foremost, thank you for coming on the show. We're here to talk about your brand new record, which is called Riot. I got sent it in December, so I've had it for a little while. And it's bloody brilliant. It's bloody, bloody brilliant. I really, really love it. My first kind of question to you is, how are you personally feeling ahead of the record's release?
Oh, first of all, thank you so much for the nice words. You know, that's a really warm welcome to the show. I start to get a bit nervous now because the record's about to come out in, 2.5 weeks now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the show airs, but it will either be
on the exact date of its release, or it'll be the Monday before or the Monday after. So I do Monday, Friday. So it's either out now, go and listen to it, like pause this podcast, go and listen to it, or just listen to this in anticipation of it coming on Friday. There we go.
yeah. No matter what, the important thing is that you give this record a spin, because we've been working on it for like 2.5 years or something like that. It's been a really wild ride. And I guess every band says that about a new record, especially if they've been working that long and hard on it. But I feel like we've put a lot of ourselves into this record, and it's you can really feel a progression of the band if you listen to all of our records, and this is just the next step, and it's still exciting, and it still feels like the first record, even though it's our fourth now. Mm-hmm. just the other day, yesterday, our first record Holy had its 8th birthday. So
amazing.
that's a long journey now, and we still feel like we're starting out, and we still feel very excited to be in this band, especially nowadays, because we when this show airs, we're on tour with Enter Shikari and Fever 333, and these are things that we haven't done until now. So mm-hmm. it still feels fresh, and it's still great to do that. But especially for me, recording music and writing music was always the biggest goal of being in a band. It's always the the production process of records and the being creative and the pouring yourself into songs and writing something that sticks and that does something to you as the writer of the music and still does something to the audience. That was always my biggest goal. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. And we're going to dive into deep to the record because first and foremost, mate, I'm an absolute nerd when it comes to music. I love kind of like, I'm kind of one of those people back in the, this is for older generation, the younger generation, I have no idea what I'm talking about. They just got Spotify. But like, you know, when you just get the liner notes and things like that and read the producers and things like that. And then you go down a rabbit hole and a wormhole of finding new things and different things. So I'm going to get into all of that. My first thing I want to point out to people as well is I don't review records generally, like, because I feel like other people do it a lot better than I do. Because if I enjoy something, I will just rave about it. And I'm like, it's fucking excellent, but that's not great to put on a poster. Like, do you know what I mean? So what I will say about the record for me personally, when I first listened to it, and I don't know if you're going to get the kind of analogy I'm going with this, it feels very fluid, right? And it kind of like, it sort of, I tried to like listen to it and being like, cool, I'm going to grab onto like a vocal. I'm going to grab onto like a drum part or a guitar part, but it all just sort of washes over me. And once I kind of allowed it to like just be, I was like, oh no, this is like, cause to be honest, I kind of, when I first got it, I struggled with it a little bit because it was just kind of like, I'm, like I say, I love kind of interesting music, and this is definitely the interesting music. So if you listen to something like, for example, like Mathcore, right? Where it's like all gendy guitars and kind of craziness, and you're like, shit, I don't know where to like grab onto. This is that, but in the opposite direction, where it's kind of like, it just all is. Like, and it's all kind of fluid and silky, and it's a really, really well-produced record. And I understand that you produced the record yourself. Is that correct? Because that's a massive achievement.
Thank you. That's the first time ever that I'm the producer of the record, but I also had a great team behind me. I had a really great mixing engineer with Moritz Enders. He's well known in Germany, and he mixed the record. I had a co-producer called Karan Valia. He engineered it, and I had Geister, who's an electronic producer. He does a lot of, they do a lot of electronic music and techno beats and stuff like that. And so yeah, I had great help and a great team and obviously a great band behind me, but it was a big thing for me to produce it, and I really put a lot of thought into who we are as a band. What do we want to do? What are we doing? Because we are not a band that has a master plan and that does like every step after the next and knows exactly what they're doing. We do stuff and then we look at it and are like, oh, okay, so that's what we're up to now. So what does this demo feel like, or this skit feel like? What can we do with this piece? And yeah, I keep writing and writing and writing. And after some time, I feel like, okay, I think I said everything I wanted to say now, or I kind of got some feelings out of my system. What do I have now? And then I analyze it and I'm like, okay, that's actually, these songs can make a record, and I'm telling a story here. And yeah, it's fluid is a good way to describe it. And I guess it's a bit, you know, making records always, if you're making a record, I always keep thinking about something that a friend of mine once told me. He said, you got to bleed on a record. It has to be very authentic, and it has to feel like, has to feel real, I think. So it's funny that you brought up Mathcore, because we're completely different than that. I think that we're pretty poppy and pretty easy listening at times, but then again, there's a depth to it that you can understand if you want to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. You can do a deep dive into our music, and you can find things and connect the dots between the records and see often occurring things that come back, and the story continues and stuff like that. So that's what I really try to achieve. I try to achieve something that's a bit deeper than just the classic pop music or I don't know how to say it. It's like some people would probably call it bubblegum music, you know, like really easy listening music that gets to the point straight away. I love that as well, but I love listening to music and to all kinds of music, you know. I'm very, very open about that. But if it comes to my own music, I really want to try to write something that gives the people joy just listening to it once. But on the other hand, if there are people that really want to dig deep, that they have the opportunity to find something.
Absolutely.
If you know what I mean. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I realize sometimes I can sound to listeners and viewers a little bit like a music snob, and I don't mean to, but what this album gives me, if you listen to this album on a really good pair of headphones, and they don't have to be massively expensive, just a decent pair of headphones, there's so many layers and textures, and there's things like, I've gone back to tracks and I've gone, oh, I didn't notice that bit the first time, because that's the thing. It is a lovely kind of a warm record that is kind of, if you let it wash over you, it's kind of like, oh, this is just a lovely space to be in. And that's the thing. There are so many layers and depth to it. So kudos to you guys as the band for making that, because although it's really kind of accessible in that first instant of being like, this is just great, this is just a great time to be listening to this kind of music. At the same time, you listen to it and then you listen to the vocals and you listen to the lyrics and you're kind of like, oh, there's like multiple layers. It's not just surface level, if that makes sense.
Thank you. Especially mentioning the vocals. It's been, that is a thing that I've been struggling with a lot. I wasn't born to be a singer, I think. I don't know. We threw a coin and I'm like, yeah, you're the vocalist now. That's what kind of band we are. We started out in our parents' basements and we just, you know, everyone just grabbed an instrument and like, okay, that's yours now. You got to play the guitar. Marcus, who's been in the band, who's started the band with me, actually he used to play guitar. He used to start to play guitar when he was like 11 or 12 years old, and we were like, yeah, you know, we already have a guitar, we need a bass now, here's a bass, and he bought a bass and just started playing bass. So that's, we're this really basic and band, I guess, this really, like, we started out playing in school and stuff like that. So for me, being the singer wasn't, and I didn't have a really big talent or anything, and I really struggle with vocals all the time, and it's something that I'm really sensitive about on the one hand, but also I don't have the biggest self-esteem if it comes to vocals. So that was a big topic for me, and we found a microphone that really represented my vocals in a good way, I think, and we found a sound for it, and that's something that back in the days, I mean, we've been doing this for more than 10 years now, and when we started out and we've been recording with producers, that was always the topic where I struggled the most, and it's been fantastic to find Karan, who's engineering my vocals. He's doing a perfect job of guiding me, and he's a native speaker, so in case my English pronunciation is not that good, he kind of tells me in a really understandable way, so I can like improve and do things better. And we work on harmonies and stuff like that. That's all things that I really, yeah, struggle with and want to get better at. But on the other hand, it's like the most important thing to get the vocals right, because having a good drum, having good sounding guitars and bass and stuff like that, that's all important, but the most important thing are the vocals, and because it's the first thing that everyone listens to, I think. Of course, drummers listen to the drums, mm-hmm. guitar players listen to the guitar, but an average music lover or listener listens to the lyrics, and for me, listens to the vocals, sorry. And that's very, really important for me, because I love lyrics. So the vocals transport the lyrics and they transport the message. So I really wanted to get that right. So we Yeah, we took our time, but we found a routine and didn't drive ourselves crazy about that. We just found a good mic and a good setup, and this time I'm really happy with how the vocals turned out on this record.
Absolutely, and there is so much I want to dive in on that. Just what you just sort of described there, because I think if you, you know, so take. I mean, I don't play any instruments. I play drums very poorly. I had lessons when I was in school, right? But if you take a guitar, right? If you take, you know, and I'm probably gonna get so much hate for guitar people because I've never played guitars. But you take like a Les Paul, right? And one would assume a Les Paul is kind of like your classic kind of rock, your blues rock, that kind of thing. You're not generally, I would have thought, going to be playing like thrash metal on it, right? Because it's not kind of, it can do that, but it's not kind of functioned in that way. There's other things that are better for that thing. And I think that's a really important thing to differentiate. Doesn't matter, I can't say it. Because I think some people are kind of born with natural talent. You say you take Usain Bolt from the sport world, or you take like Pavarotti from the music world, they have just got a gift, right? And if you are that person, then fantastic, good for you. Everybody else who I call like the mere mortals, like me and you, we have to work at our craft. We have to work at it. And I think, you know, you've definitely, like you say, you had that kind of that spark, and that's almost like a punk energy of being like a punk band would pick up their drums and their guitar and go, we can't play this, but we're going to make a fucking racket and try. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of that get up and go energy, which I think is integral to a lot of band success, including yours, of being like, cool, we weren't 100% sure what we were doing when we first started out, but we're going to keep doing it. And now you're getting, you know, support slots with Into Shikari and festival bills and things like that. And it's proof is in the pudding, as they say in the UK, in terms of like hard work equals success. Do you know what I mean?
Proof is in the pudding. I'm going to remember that. yeah, I really think that we are a punk band in that sense, a DIY band or whatever you want to call it. And we've been highly influenced by punk rock music, by hardcore music, by all these kinds of musics that taught us that you can pick up a guitar and you don't have to have the biggest gift or anything. You just have to like do something and be creative with that. And the first time, you know, I've listened to Nevermind by Nirvana, that was like eye-opening to me. And because when I started out playing guitar, I always fancied these big solo guitar parts and stuff like that. And I've been listening a lot to Bon Jovi when I was a kid. My parents had the record, so I was really into that. And Richie Sambora, the guitar player of Bon Jovi, I always saw myself as the solo guitar player of a band. And I knew that I had to practice a lot, but when I then discovered punk rock, Nevermind, Blink 182 and bands like that, I really saw that it's not about how good you are, it's about how creative you are and what you want to do with that instrument. And you don't have to know a lot of chords to do great music. And I think that the whole industry proves that at the moment, you know, with productions that don't need a big knowledge or anything. Kids do their stuff on the computer, and that's totally fine. That's totally fine. You don't have to go to music school for 10 years and practice each and every day for 8 hours and stuff like that to be creative and do stuff. That's what I really love about music at the moment. You can just go out and do it. So this record is a lot about that, because again, starting out recording music 10 years ago, the whole home recording stuff started, but it started way earlier, but you know what I mean? It came to the mainstream, but when we started, we always had to go to a studio and had to find someone who recorded us. For example, our first record, Holy, was recorded in 3 days. We only had the money to go into the studio for 3 days, so we packed all our instruments in and we played the songs live and were recorded. And then that's that, you know. That's what it sounds like. That's your record. And nowadays, I have an interface, I have a computer, I have a guitar, and I have a cable, and I can record everywhere I want to. And I really did that on this record. I've recorded on a bus. I recorded in hotel rooms. I recorded backstage at shows. I recorded in a studio, obviously. I recorded in our rehearsal space. I just did everything as DIY as possible. So even though we have a label now and stuff like that, I think of this record as it's kind of DIY as fuck, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what's special about it. And we use sounds that are not constructed in a big studio and need the most expensive microphones and stuff like that. And because these sounds that I create here, sometimes I record with an interface, sometimes even some stuff is recorded with the phone or with anything. It has some kind of personality, and that gives you the sauce to a good Blacker Problems record nowadays, I guess. Still, yeah, there's a very good mixing engineer involved, so at the end of the day, he's responsible to make it sound great. So we don't, you know, it. I don't think that the record sounds like it's been recorded in a hotel room. It sounds very good, but the technology nowadays gives you the possibility to be even more creative because you can record everywhere you want to.
Absolutely. I try and always make a point of saying there's certain things in life that you just can't do. Like, I'm never going to be a pro footballer. I'm never going to be an astronaut, right? That much, you know, the sky's the limit. But in terms of like everything kind of mostly under that, it's like, cool, I can't play guitar, but I could probably learn. I can't, you know, I didn't have a clue how to do podcasting until I started 4 years ago and, you know, had a relatively shitty setup, bought a better setup. And like, you just kind of, you build on that. So it makes perfect sense. And I want to talk about the support slots that you guys will be on as well with Enter Shikari, because everyone will know that Enter Shikari are one of my favorite bands of all time. And I think there's a very, very good kinship between you two as two bands, because much like you guys, Shikari have always kind of had this thing of like, we are DIY punk as fuck, but also, yeah, we've got a big label behind us. Yeah, we've got management, blah, blah. And, you know, but at the same time, everything's done on their terms. And I don't know this as direct fact, but I've been given the impression by a lot of interviews and things I've done in the past of being like, cool, we're going to do what we want. And if you don't like it, we'll just go and do it anyway. Do you know what I mean? It is kind of that kind of punk aesthetic. And I love that. And I wanted to talk about a couple of the guest features on this record as well, because Raoul, obviously, of Enter Shikari appears on one of the tracks. How did that come about? Obviously, was that before the tour, after the tour? How did that all come to be? Because that's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, we've always been very big fans of Enter Shikari, and we've been very vocal about that. We've never, at every opportunity, in every interview I was asked about, who would you love to work with? Raoul was always the first choice. And so we reached out to their management, and they've been very, very nice to us. And I got Raoul's email address, so I sent him two demos. First one was Wales, the second one was Gloves. Both songs are now on the record. And yeah, I heard back from him a few weeks later, and he was like, yeah, if you want me to do something, I'll try. So I especially with Gloves, there's a story behind it, because we had like a catastrophe in Germany in the Ahrtal, which is was destroyed by a flood. And mm-hmm. I wrote him about that. I sent him a picture of the situation, and he's probably heard of that. So I was in the studio, and my phone lightened up, and I got a WhatsApp message by Raoul, and I was totally shocked. I was like, what the fuck? Raoul's writing me on WhatsApp, so what's going on? And I've just seen like, hey, brother, and then a Dropbox link to the first draft that he did. And yeah, I flipped out. I was so happy about that, because being a fan of a band, that's one thing, but then getting to know the band and playing shows with them, or even record something and write music with them, that's like your biggest dream, and it can come true, but it can also be a nightmare, I guess, mm-hmm. if the people behind the band are not the nicest people in the world. But it turns out Shikari are the nicest people in the world. That's it's been amazing. We did the track, and we, yeah, the first draft that he sent us actually turned out to be the one that's on the record. It's just absolutely amazing, and I was so happy that we had a chance like that. You know, that's, yeah, it's amazing. As a lyricist and as a vocalist, as a producer, as a songwriter, he's just he's just absolutely mind-blowing, I think.
Absolutely.
And the things that Shikari do are always next level. That you can never, you never know what to expect. It's always next level. And they're very passionate about what they do, I think. And then they invited us to come to the UK, which is like, for us, growing up listening to UK bands, and especially listening to Shikari and other bands like that, it's like one of our wildest dreams to play a tour with them in the UK. So we did that last February, and this February we start out again, and we play Germany, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is unbelievable for us.
Absolutely. So in the 4 years I've been doing this podcast, and I've done about 5 years worth of YouTube content before doing this, I've been in some pretty mad situations. But I went to 2000 Trees festival this year, just gone, and Raoul was just happened to be in the guest area, and can hand on my heart say, everyone I've ever interviewed, everyone I've ever met who's been in the band, the nicest man, because I was a fucking wreck when I met him. I tried to hold it down, and I was just like, I just love your music so much. Like, but it was just, he was the sweetest fucking dude. And yeah, I feel like I'd be doing a disservice if I don't mention that, because what a fucking dude and what a fucking band. Love it. So I wanted to speak about you as a band going on stage, because I think it's really interesting, because I think sometimes there is kind of this illusion, or at least there was back in the early 80s, early 90s, whatever, of people doing all kinds of debauchery behind the scenes. And I know that's not the case nowadays. So I kind of wanted to ask, what is going on sort of 30 minutes before you personally hit the stage? What's going through your head? How do you do warm-ups? How do you calm down? As a band, do you come together? Do you kind of go into your own separate kind of areas and be like, cool, I'm just going to get into the zen and then come together? How does it all work for you guys?
I do vocal warm-ups for about 10 to 15 minutes, I think. It's really important for me to have this routine to warm up and to like be ready to go on stage. Other than that, yeah, we come together. Some of the band have a drink with some of the crew, but I don't drink, so I'm not involved into that. But it always looks funny. Yeah. And then we come together and hope for the best, I think. Yeah, we're
for sure.
We used to it's hard to explain in English, but I'd say if I translate it, it would mean something like let the monkeys free, you know. Mm-hmm. that's something that we were like, okay, now let's what we mean by that, it's probably that we can be ourselves on stage just for the hour or the 2 hours that we're on stage, or maybe even the 30 minutes that we're on stage, and we can, that it's not an act, it's not something that we've invented or practiced. It's just mm-hmm. how we are. We get on stage and we just can let it all out, because we usually, if we're not doing a podcast or if we're not doing, if we're not on stage, we're pretty, pretty easy and calm guys. We can be loud, but we're not, some of us are pretty introvert. So, the second we hit the stage, we flip the switch, and we can be ourselves and show a side of us that we can only show on stage. And that's what I really love, because it levels me in a way. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of issues and things that drive me mad, and you know, a lot of things in my head that are not always that pleasant. So the stage, the music, the songs, that's where I can overcome my fear, overcome things. And yeah, especially, for example, not drinking alcohol. I'm not the biggest talkative guy at parties, or I'm not like the outgoing. I'm not the person in the middle, in the center, or I'm not that easy with talking to new people sometimes, you know. Yeah, sometimes it's different. It depends, but on stage it's like, okay, you're the center of the stage now. You can like you can say what you want to say for a second. And having the band behind me, it's like, okay, I'm brave enough to say it now. And I say things in the songs. That's a very cliche thing to say, but in the songs I can be brutally honest with myself and with what I want to say. And sometimes I struggle with saying these things out loud in a normal conversation, if you know what I mean. That's what the music does, and then it kind of gets you going, and it's a pretty wild thing, a show, Blackout Problems, sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's very emotional, I think.
Absolutely. I've heard the expression used before, that music is where you can put your emotions and it doesn't hurt anybody. Like, because that's the thing, you can listen to some really, like, there's a song for every time you've won, every time you've lost, every time you've cried, and every time you've partied. There is a song out there for that emotion, and that is what I think resonates so importantly with people when it comes to music. And I don't want to throw any shade at anyone who isn't into music, but people who sort of just listen to music so very casually. I take, for example, my own mum, right? She'll listen to music on the radio, and she goes, I like this song. And I'm like, how are you not like saying this is the best of the world? She's like, I just like this. Do you know what I mean? And they're just kind of impartial to it. I don't understand those people only because I live and breathe the music I listen to and discovering bands. It's all part of it. And I think it's really, really important to kind of, what I'm trying to do with this podcast is shine a light on bands who I think are fantastic and who will openly speak to me. But also kind of, yeah, just give people their flowers, if that's an expression people use nowadays. That's what the Gen Zs use. And, you know, I want to kind of personally give my flowers to Bad Problems, because I think this record is fantastic, like I say. And, yeah, you're absolutely smashing gentlemen on this podcast. So, yeah, it's really, really cool. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, man. It's nice to see how enthusiastic you are talking about music. That's very very inspiring, man.
It's all I've ever wanted to do since I remember it so clearly, and everyone listening is going to do the fucking Kerrang story again. Literally, I got home from school one day. There was a bar of chocolate, a can of Coke, a Green Day American Idiot CD, and a Kerrang magazine on my bed that had been left by my mum and dad, and I was off to the races. I was like, okay, I want to do what they're doing in this magazine by interviewing people. I want to keep listening to this stuff because this stuff is great. And also the chocolate and Coke was pretty nice as well. So, Mario, I've got a couple of final questions, mate, before I let you on your way. And one question I've asked every single artist in 2023, and I've brought it through to 2024 as well, is a question about, I'll explain it, right? So when Spotify or Apple or kind of insert big corporate brand who puts up podcasts buys this podcast off me, they buy the entire brand, never mind Polly, right? I'm going to have lots of lovely sponsor money, right? Now, rather than reinvest it back into the podcast like a normal human being, I'm going to go, fuck it. I'm going to blow it all on one big festival, right? And Blackout Problems, along with every single artist who's been on the show previously, is invited to play. And what I would like to know is what you personally would like to add to the rider of said festival. Now, the key with this is there is no financial limitations into what you can have. And there is no like logistical restrictions. You can have literally whatever your heart desires, whether that be the smallest, like most insignificant thing, which is actually really important. I had Josh, the guitarist of Cattle Decapitation, on. He said to me, I just want a laundry service, which, to be honest, that was a great shout. Like, that man is going to be everybody's friend at the festival, because, you know, who doesn't want to wash their clothes? All the way up to, like, we've had like puppies, we've had roller coaster rides, we've had Matt from August Burns Red said to me, I want a whole like monster truck rally set up at the festival. What I would like to know is what you would like to add to the festival, to the rider of the festival.
I'd say free entry for those who can't achieve a ticket and really love the music.
Smashed it. That is the best one I've had. That is the best one I've had. I love that.
I really love the laundry as well, but I think that especially kids who have no money to go to these shows, and these shows are getting more expensive by the hour at the moment, because everything's getting more expensive, you know, with the inflation and stuff like that. We really have to watch our money again, and then we I don't know, everything's getting more expensive. That's the way it is. And going to a festival, especially if you invite all the bands, you probably have to do a 3-day festival. So going to,
I think it's probably gonna be like a week long at this point. I've done this for interviews for 3 years. So it's gonna be about a week long. It's gonna be lovely.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great festival. First of all, it's gonna be a lot of work for you. But if you look at Glastonbury, Reading Festival, or Download Festival, all these festivals that you have, all these beautiful festivals, they are not the cheapest ones, I think. And you gotta buy your drinks and your food and stuff, and it's some people just can't afford that. And I think they love music, so yeah, all these kids who really love music and can't afford it, they should get in. So they should get a personal invitation from you as the festival owner. Hey, you know what, you're invited to our festival for free. Go mad in the pit.
Absolutely love that. And
that,
you know,
would be
what?
Awesome.
I hadn't even thought about kind of a ticket allocation, but to be fair, if Spotify, Amazon, whoever, I'm not picky who buys it, is paying for it, then we'll just make it free anyway. That makes the most amount of sense. That's absolutely wonderful. I've got one final question for you, Mario, and I'm so, so grateful for your time this morning. The question I'm going to ask you is a question I've asked every single interview I've ever done on the podcast. And it's a very simple question, but it's very important because it's your answer. What is the best thing about being in a band for you personally?
Having friends around and being creative. That's the best thing for me.
I love it. I love it. Everybody, go and check out the brand new record from Blackout Problems called Riot. They are going on tour in Europe with Enter Shikari as this podcast is going out. Is there anything that we need to talk about? Anything you need to plug? Anything I've forgotten? Anything you want to say at the end of the podcast to finish us off, mate?
Yeah, I'd love to say that we'll be back in the UK as well. And I think that of all the countries that we play on our next tour in 2024, I think the UK gets most of the shows. So please come out. Please visit us on tour. And the dates will be online by now, I think. So check it out.
Absolutely love that. If you're coming anywhere near Norwich, East Anglia, kind of that way, I'll be meeting you at the bar. I will buy you a non-alcoholic beverage of your choice as a thank you for coming on the show. And I really hope you do this in person. Mario, this has been absolutely wonderful, mate. Have yourself a lovely rest of your morning, and we will catch up very, very soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Lovely. Peace and love, everybody. See you soon.